Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the world. Welcome to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. I've got a little different program today. I've got a topic I have wanted to talk about, and the nature of American politics has just simply brought it to the top that it just needs to be discussed in the issue of nationalism, what it is, what it isn't, what's right, what isn't right. And we are going to put it today in a biblical perspective. A biblical perspective relative to nationalism. Now, I'm one of these guys, as you know, if you've listened to this program at all, that believes every meaningful issue in life is covered in the Word of God. I absolutely believe that. And there is so much that people don't even think would be covered scripturally. They don't go to the scriptures to even look or consider it. But if you read the Bible enough, you will find that everything that is really, truly important is covered. Just because you haven't found it doesn't mean it isn't there, or you've covered it and it didn't speak to you at the moment in time. And oftentimes there are scriptural things which don't bear any particular relevance at the time that you read it because the situation to which it applies has not arisen in your life, or in the life of the country or the city or in your marriage or what have you. Those things don't matter yet. They matter, but there just hasn't been a relevant application for you to make. Nationalism is one of those things. I have never considered what I'm going to talk about here today, and it's not going to be the first thing I cover. It's going to be the second half of the program. But I've never considered discussing this at all, because it was never an issue, it was never in question. It had never been something that's being raised on a daily basis in this country, whether it's okay to love your country more than you love other countries. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? You say, I love these people more than I love others? Well, we're going to take a biblical look at that, but I just want to throw out one thing as a bit of a teaser. For everyone out there who says that's wrong to love our country and our people maybe more than others, the ones that we know best, do you love your family more than you love somebody living in St. Louis that you've never heard of, never met, never will? Well, of course you do. That's not an unnatural thing. But this is the little teaser question I want to throw out there. And then we're going to come back to this topic a little later in the program and discuss it in its entirety. If it were wrong for us to be really pro-American, to love the United States of America, and to love the United States of America more than Mexico, more than Canada, more than England, more than South Africa, more than China, more than every other country, and I would say this for anybody and everybody in another country, if it were wrong, then why do we always root for our country in the Olympics? Why do the Swedes root for Sweden? Why do those in for the Egyptians root for Egypt? Why do the Austrians root for Austria right on down the line? Why do Mexicans root for Mexico in a soccer match? I will tell you, soccer is probably more nationalistic, nationalistically partisan than any sport that I know. My goodness sakes. I mean, the stadiums are three times as filled as a football stadium. And everybody that is from a particular country, they're waving the flags, the banners, their national anthem. Sometimes fights break out. Well, are they nationalists? Boy, you better believe they are. Of the strongest sort, and sometimes of the most violent. Now, I'm not saying the violence part of it is good. Of course I don't think that. But is it okay to root for the home team, so to speak? Is it okay to love your countrymen in a manner that you would do more for your countrymen than you would do for the countrymen of another country? The answer is unquestionably yes, but the second part of this program is going to deal with why it is okay with proof from Scripture. Now, we always start with good news, do we not? Yes, we do. In between, kind of a rough ride, but this is going to be a softer program. I hope I'm not letting you down. I want to talk about Greenland, too. I didn't get to it last week. I so badly wanted to cover this topic of the United States buying Greenland, Greenland, as I guess they say. We say Disneyland. We don't say Disneyland. But anyway, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But I'm going to touch on that in a little bit here because I think it's very interesting. And I also want to show how the absence of a knowledge of history leads people to just say ridiculously dumb and stupid things, be they Americans, be they the Danes, who have a certain control over Greenland, be it everybody who is just looking. In this case, it wouldn't be such a big deal, except that the media is always looking for yet another thing to try to take down Donald Trump. And this one is the left is now wildly quoting all sorts of people, particularly Europeans, on how they absolutely are convinced Donald Trump is completely bonkers. And that fuels and feeds the left-wing narrative in this country. They keep thinking that there's a way by which they can take down Trump, and this is the latest way. Look, we can prove that he's lost his mind, and it's time to invoke the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, that the president is incapacitated mentally, and therefore he needs to be removed from office. Now, trust me, if Trump gets reelected, but the Senate goes Democrat and the House stays Democrat, they will try that. I promise you. Write it down. I promise you they will attempt to do that. But today's program is going to take that issue away because you are going to know more history in the next 25 minutes than 99% of the Democrats ever learned and ever had a chance to forget. But, of course, they're reading out of textbooks that are written to provide, in an anti-American, pro-multiculturalistic world, the kind of history that they want to read. Keep in mind, there's history and there's those who write about it. And what you write about history doesn't necessarily or invariably match what really happens. Just because it's in a book called a history book doesn't mean it is correct. I mean, talk to the Russian people about history. I think I quoted this a week or two ago. I can't think of the guy who said it now, but he said, you know, our future is secured, it's stable and it's certain. It's our past that keeps changing. Now think about that. This is a wise, astute Soviet, former Soviet, a Russian person, who was well aware of the fact that his country's, quote, historians, end quote, would routinely rewrite history to fit the socialist Soviet propaganda. Had to be rewritten. So he said, our future is certain. It's knowable. It's our past that keeps changing. Quite an indicting insight from that party. Okay, to our good news. Hadn't gotten there yet, had I? And we're 10 minutes into this program. This is really pretty amazing. Yes, it's another pro-Donald Trump thing. I got two pieces of good news, and they both are supportive of something Trump has done. This isn't to support Trump. It's to support what he's doing. If what he's doing is good, then I will hail it as a good thing. If Barack Obama did something that was good, I would hail it as a good thing. I just never found anything in 8 years. I mean, I would not have denied the man his few moments of so-called laudatory glory on this program if he had done anything that was deserving of being praised or lauded, as they say. But Christians are lauding a decision by President Trump regarding tariffs. That's right, tariffs. Why would Christians be involved in tariffs? Because the president decided to exempt from the tariff hike on Chinese goods Bibles. That's right. Bibles were exempted from the tariff hike on Chinese goods. Isn't that nice? They probably say, well, that's a violation of church and state. You're using governmental office to advance Christianity. Yeah, so what? Because the separation of church and state is not in our Constitution. It's not. Go read it. It's not there. They make it up, and then when they make it up, they call it history. But it's not there. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That tells me that Trump did something God is smiling about by exempting from the tariff Chinese Bibles. I don't know if these are Bibles printed in Chinese for Chinese in the United States or if they're Chinese printing English Bibles, probably both. Who cares? The policy applies to both. Second thing, which I laud the idea, I don't think it's possible, but the president wants to end the anchor baby policy that if you can just sneak across the Rio Grande and drop a kid somewhere in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, or California, voila, it's a citizen. This is where history is also unbelievably important, because there is a strong question whether that was ever the intent of that passage in our Constitution, that birthright citizenship was intended to cover that. No, there's some thought that the reason that it's there is to cover slaves that weren't citizens but were born here. Well, you know, I'm not going to get into this thing any further than to say I love the idea. There's only, I think, one other country in the whole world that has birthright citizenship. It's stupid. It really is. It's just an invitation to take over a country. But we've been strong enough to resist it. And the lure of American ideals and prosperity has been enough in the past that those who have come here, even if it's to get citizenship, have come not to undermine the country, but to enjoy and participate, even if they came here illegally and dropped the babies here. Not so anymore. That's not the way it is anymore. Those days are gone, and the reason people are having babies in this country goes far beyond a desire to participate in the American economy, but it's in part to talk to La Raza. They want to take the country back over. You know what? I could go on and on. I'm not going to, because I need to move on to the next piece. And I guess we have a break coming up here, so I'm not going to be able to do that right now. But stay with us. We've got the piece on Greenland coming up and the piece on nationalism. Is nationalism a biblical concept? Don't go away. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. We will be right back.
Well, hey, how are you? Welcome to Red Sky Radio. I am the tech guy, and consider this a PSA. I want to quickly tell you how you can get all the episodes. You can go to darkskyradio.com. Once you get there, go towards the right. You'll see on the menu page a Red Sky Radio tab. Click on that tab, and voila, there you are. There's a media player. You can go through and listen to all the past episodes. You can go through and download all the past episodes. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, what you'll find is a Google Play button. You can click on that and subscribe to this radio show via Google Play, or to the left, you can go to iTunes, and that button there will take you to a new page, the Podomatic page. You can subscribe right there and listen. You can scroll down on that page to the right and find the iTunes subscribe button. Thank you so much for listening to Red Sky Radio.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio Part 2. We have this program actually broken into three segments. Real quickly, before I get to a history lesson dealing with Greenland, I want to just make this comment about the barbarian butchers, otherwise known as planned non-parenthood, as they are proudly proclaiming that last year, the numbers are in, they killed 11,373 more innocent unborn children than the year before. That's right. 332,757 is the kill number for the barbarian butchers of planned non-parenthood, up 11,373 from 321,384 the year before. They seem to be proud of that because their numbers are growing, right? Now, consider this shameful statistic. All right, that statistic is shameful. This statistic is shameful. The killers collected $563.8 million from taxpayers through Medicaid reimbursements and government family planning grants. Now, that is horrible. That is terrible. That's obnoxious. It's an egregious, wasteful use of tax. It's an evil use of taxpayer money. And that number is up $20 million from the previous year. So they are killing more babies, and they're getting more money for killing them. And they're proud of it. Now, number three, and this is it's not the most shameful statistic of this report, but it certainly is something to just make you cringe and realize how evil, how deceptive, how disingenuous, what a pack of liars these barbarian butchers are. So they performed 332,757 abortions last year. How about the number of referrals for adoption? 2,831. These pack of obnoxious liars from the pit of hell talking and saying, well, we refer out to adoption. Well, you know what? Who they refer to adoption? Probably the woman who comes in there, and after she finds out what's going on and has any inkling of knowledge that she's about to slaughter her posterity, says, "I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this." Okay. Why don't you consider adoption? That is probably the only situation that produces an adoption referral is when planned non-parenthood can't add to its kill rate because something has gone on in that killing center, that butcher clinic. Something has gone on in there that has moved that woman to not do it. and they can't get her to, I mean, what else would it be? If you have slaughtered 332,000, let's round it off, 333,000, what would make you perform 2,800 adoption referrals? That's not even, folks, that's not even 1%. Less than 1% of all the children killed are referred, less than a 1% rate of that you've got that are referred out for adoption. Obviously, they're in the business of killing. They're in the killing business. So something out of their control caused them, made them, forced them to refer for adoption this measly 2,831, which I'm thrilled about. But for them to say, yeah, we refer out for adoption, what a pack of liars. Gosh. Now, moving on to Alyssa Milano. You know, this gal receives so much media attention. I don't know who she is. I don't care who she is. I don't want to hear anything she sings. I don't want to watch anything she performs. She is one barbarian of the left. She is the lead barbarian butcher in the pro-abort movement right now, who continues this harangue about how thrilled she was for killing her unborn children, two of them, for which she said, quote, life would be completely lacking, end quote, if I didn't have the abortions. She went on to say, I would not have the joy in my life that I'm experiencing if I had not had those abortions. Joy. Life would be lacking. Is there any hypocrisy here? Is there any contradiction in terms? Is there any sickening disingenuity on her part? I'll tell you. She says her life would be lacking. The only thing lacking is the life of the two she slaughtered. And how about their joy? She doesn't give a rat's rear end about their joy, right? She just said, I'm full of joy because I got to kill these two kids. That's what she said. Maybe we should talk to Alyssa Pro-Abort, kill them as fast as you can, Milano. Maybe we should talk to her mother. Mrs. Whatever you are, why didn't you abort her? Not that I'm encouraging retrospectively her mother to have done that, but would your mother, Alyssa, have had more joy if she scratched you right in the womb, if she said did the D&C on Alyssa Milano? Get rid of this little product of conception. Do you think she would have had more joy? Then you wouldn't have gotten to kill your two kids, would you? And then they're out of the joy. Look what a sick mess this is. Because life, she said life would be lacking. Life to Alyssa and to the pro-aborts is in death. I get life if I kill them. I get joy if I rob them of their joy. And then you got all these wah-wah singers, these female musicians from Lady Gaga to Miley Cyrus and right on down the line, who signed the pro-abortion letter. You know what? I would never, ever knowingly attend a concert or support anything that any one of those women do. This isn't about the women. They're guys that would sign it, but it was a female deal. The guys don't get to sign pro-abort letters, I guess. So they have joy. They think they found life in death. It's kind of interesting because, you know, we are not allowed to do certain things in our school systems anymore. You can whisk a girl out for an abortion. The parents don't even know about it, much less consent. Nobody knows about it while she goes out and they take this young, immature girl and have her go out and have an abortion and kill her. And then they strip the Ten Commandments out of the schools. Ruby, hats off to you, in Las Vegas wrote to me and she said, you know, we have all this violence and everybody is horrified by all the violence. And yet in the schools, they make a point of making sure the Ten Commandments, which says, including thou shalt not kill, are removed. Isn't that interesting? You know, thou shalt not kill. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of the thing that tells us we should not kill. Oh my gosh, why do we have all this violence going on? That's because you are no longer telling anybody to not kill. You are actually telling people to kill. All right, what do we have? I'm not supportive, needless to say, of mass shootings, but we have 13, we have 17 that are dead. Planned Parent, Non-Parenthood, the barbarian butchers, how many do they kill? Almost 1,000 a day. A day. Each and every day. 333,000 divided by 365 is about, I know I'm just doing it real fast, about just under 1,000 a day. 1,000 a day would be 365,000. 1,000 for every day. And apparently that's their goal because their numbers are rising. Well, Greenland. The issue of history. Let me give you a little bit of history on Greenland, and then I want to give you a bigger piece of U.S. history, and then I'm going to tell you why it matters, who is upset, who is being quiet about this, and the reasons for it. There is so much wrapped up into this that the media doesn't want to do anything but shame Trump into not trying to act based on an allegation that he is nuts and stupid simultaneously. Neither is the case. He's shrewd. Hey, he's a real estate guy. Why wouldn't you want to go buy a piece of real estate that looks like it might be a good deal? And I'll tell you right now, I like it. I like the idea. I love the idea. First of all, it's worth the $2.3 billion that they say it's worth. But listen to this. If the whack jobs are really, truly correct, that the Earth is irreversibly headed in a warming environment, that continent, which is covered 90% with ice, eventually it's only 89% ice. And then it's only 88% ice. And we keep picking up dirt, right? Great idea. It's a great idea with global warming as a falsehood. But if it were true, this would be a steal. This would be a way to, who knows? We might have people moving to Greenland because it's just a cooler climate and more of the soil is tillable and arable and whatnot. Hey, great idea. Okay, here's the history. Greenland is an autonomous Danish territory. Now, it seems like kind of a contradiction in terms. They've got their own people in charge, but it's nominally under Danish control. Situated out there, as you well know, I would hope that you know, in the North Atlantic, in the Arctic Ocean, a good portion of it. Population is small, 56,000 people, and it's one quarter the size of the United States. So if the United States bought it, you could see how much the area of the United States would expand, or at least United States territories would expand by its acquisition. If it's one quarter the size of the United States, that means the United States territories would increase by roughly 20%. Right? So we say, well, why would we ever do this? Well, it's rich in natural resources. You can't make anybody sell. If somebody wanted to sell, then we look at it, making a deal. Now here's Danish politician Soren Epperson says, quote, if Trump is truly contemplating this, this is the final proof that he has gone mad, end quote. Gone mad because he wants to buy Greenland, the real estate guy. Like I say, rich in resources, global warming is true, we get more and more accessible land to help the world's expanding population, right? Well, it's only got 56,000 people, so if it's a quarter of the United States, you can see, obviously, how light the population is. It's cold. It's freezing. But Esperson, I've mispronounced his name, goes on to say that the thought of Denmark selling 50,000 citizens to the United States is completely ridiculous, end quote. You know what's ridiculous, Soren? That stupid comment you just made. You wouldn't be selling the citizens, you Nimrod. Goodness sakes. Danes, are you really that stupid? I don't think so. I hope not. I got some Danish friends. They seem to be okay. There were Danes in the Alamo fighting. That's right. There are Danes in the Alamo fighting. Well, you're not selling the citizens, Esperson. You'd be selling the land. Look, when Jefferson participated in the Louisiana Purchase, did he buy the Indians? No, of course not. And I'm not going to get into the weeds on the details of that, but look, the citizens aren't being sold. It would be land, and the land that they own, they would still own. It's only the land that Denmark owns or Greenland owns under their arrangement, not the citizens, that would be sold. But this nincompoop is talking about the citizens being sold, and he's a politician. No wonder Denmark is screwed up. No wonder the EU is screwed up. Now, look, we got listeners in Denmark, but we aren't going to buy something from you out of force. I'm not going to hold a gun to your head. You know what would be really interesting? And nobody has talked about this. Poll the citizens of Greenland. Poll the 56,000. What do you say? What if Trump came along and say, look, I want to buy this building in Lower Manhattan. And the seller says, I don't think the people aren't going to want to move. So Trump says, well, in addition to the $100 million for this building, I will pay every tenant in this building $1 million for their flat. Poll the citizens, poll the tenants. Do you think they might now support it? You think so? You think? What if they got to stay and put $100,000 into their pocket? Do you think maybe they would like that? Nobody knows. Nobody dares to take a poll because they're too busy just calling Trump crazy. Now, a little more history here, and I'm to finish this off. Number one, 1803, Thomas Jefferson, Secretary of State James Madison, took Napoleon's offer for the Louisiana Purchase, bought the Northwest Territory for $15 million and almost doubled the size of the United States through a purchase. So buying another country's land is not crazy. That was time number one. Time number two for the rest of our history lesson. Let me get the date right here. I'll make sure I got the right date. In 1853 was the Gadsden Purchase. The United States purchased from Mexico an area twice the size of Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island combined, helping form the states of New Mexico and Arizona. Yes, the United States bought that land. Number three, the Mexicans also offered to sell Baja California for $10 million, and we screwed up by not buying it. Yeah, we should have bought that. Look at all that additional coastline. Hey, that's number three. Number four, William Seward, Secretary of State, almost murdered in the John Wilkes Booth assassination, tried in 1860, I don't have the exact date for this, tried to buy Greenland. Nobody called him stupid yet. Tried to buy Iceland, tried to buy St. Thomas and the Dominican Republic in the Caribbean. What did he end up with? All of those failed, but he did buy Russia. From Russia, he bought Alaska for $7.2 million. Known at the time as Seward's Folly, turned out to be the best real estate deal ever done. This makes Trump look like a kind of a chump change, flip and flop kind of a guy, flipper flop, like a real estate flipper. I mean, this has turned out with the resources that Alaska has and its strategic national defense position vis-a-vis the Soviet Union, the best real estate investment since the Louisiana Purchase, right? And maybe the best one ever since then. That's number four, but I'm not done. Number five, Denmark. Hey, Soren Espersen, listen to this, pal. In 1917, you guys sold the Virgin Islands to Woodrow Wilson, to the United States under Woodrow Wilson. Don't call it crazy unless you want to call yourself crazy and regret the sale. Don't call us crazy. Call yourself crazy if you regret the sale of the Virgin Islands. And then the last piece of relevant history here. Number 6, Harry Truman attempted to buy Greenland in 1946 and offered the Danes $100 million in gold. That's right, $100 million in gold. They turned it down. I mean, I don't know the reasons they turned it down, but no one was calling Harry Truman stupid and crazy and mad like they are now. And this was, so this buying Greenland now is not the first, it's not the second, it's the third time we have attempted to do so, and from a country that has previously sold us land. So what's stupid about it? It's brilliant if we could pull it off, and maybe the Danes could use the money to help support the Muslims that are living off of, on the public dole there in Denmark. That's right. They probably could use it. So, in concluding, why is this so much more important than most of you think? This is my take. I haven't read this. I feel like this is what God's revealed. The one who is not saying anything and the one who I am convinced is really upset by the idea and standing back and letting the left-wing media do its job to assail Trump as crazy is who? Vladimir Putin. The same one who would to this day regret the sale of Alaska to the United States. If he could reverse that, he would in a heartbeat. For strategic reasons, enormous strategic and resource reasons, strategic geographically and strategic from a bevy of resources, Putin would be scared out of his pants about the United States buying Greenland and having that an additional foray into the Arctic and into the North Atlantic. He hates the idea. But you know what? He's got to be quiet. I hope that we have people in the Kremlin that listen to this program. We have verified that. Not him. Maybe it's Vladimir in the mailroom or Igor in shipping and receiving. I have no idea. But this is why he can't say anything, because the left is so anti-Trump for supposedly being in collusion with Putin. If Putin speaks out against it, that's sort of the collusion theory goes up in smoke, because these guys aren't chest-butting each other, Trump and Putin. Not like the left wants us to think that they are. He would actually do a disservice and might encourage the activity if he came out publicly against it. So he's got to stay mum, and he will, unless it gets so close that he's got nothing else to lose. Well, there's some history, folks, and there's some political analysis to that history. Is it wrong biblically to purchase land from another country? Of course not. We've been buying land. There's deeds and land transferring all the time between citizens and Israel. Abraham bought a burial plot for Sarah, right? And it, you know what? It's just... they had their customs for it, and the purchase and sale of land has always been okay in free societies, which Israel was at the time and which we are now, and we are desperately hanging on to, which now takes us to our last topic about nationalism. And I want to start this with a scripture which I quoted earlier. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Another passage out of Psalms, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. So we want our nation to be good. And if it's good and it's right, if our God is the Lord, we will be blessed. And what does blessed mean? We're provided for in material possessions. We have food, we have clothing, we have resources, we have oil, gas. We are blessed. So then we can in turn wisely and judiciously use the excess to bless other peoples. Blessed to be a blessing. Our most famous and our greatest export was 100 years ago, and they were called missionaries. It's not our oil, it's not our gas, it's not our wheat, it's our missionaries. And when we cease to be a righteous nation, because our God is no longer the Lord of this nation, we will cease to be great. What is it, Alexander de Tocqueville, who said America is great because America is good? And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. So, what's wrong with a nationalism founded upon a desire to be good and great and exceptional for the right reasons? Is it okay to want to win an Olympic bobsled competition or something? Or yeah, that's great. Is it okay to want to win if your guys are taking steroids? No, that's bad. You see, winning can be good, winning can be bad. It's based upon the facts and circumstances of the situation. So let me ask, for starters here, I just wonder, was the Apostle Paul a Jewish nationalist? Because I said about 3 weeks ago, I'm a white nationalist. And if you are, because I am a white guy, that's only an adjective, who loves the United States of America. I love this nation. I want this nation to be better, bigger, stronger, greater, more righteous. I want it to be a nation that loves God. If you're a black guy and you've got those same passions, you're a black nationalist. Happen to be a black guy who loves this nation, wants it to grow, prosper, and expand for all the right reasons. You go right on down the line. Hispanic, Asian, doesn't really matter. But the word nationalist has gotten confused with supremacist. White supremacist with white nationalist. Not even remotely close. Now, you see, Adolf Hitler was a nationalist, but he wasn't conclusively. He wanted Germany to be great, but Germany to be great so that Germany could conquer other countries. He didn't stop at nationalism. He became an imperialist. He wanted to impose it on other nations. We're not trying to impose that. Not trying to impose our Americanism on other nations. It's okay to love your nation. When you go to impose what you believe and you love on other nations, as Hitler did, now you've become an imperialist. You are no longer a nationalist. A nationalist's desires stop at the border of that nation. The imperialist crosses over. Huge distinction. But we've confused these things. And I might throw in, Hitler was a white supremacist. Trump obviously is not. That lie. I'm getting ready to puke if I hear the word racist one more time. Like up in Seattle this last week, they got a poop problem. They're trying to, apparently competing against San Francisco and LA and now San Diego, and see who can gather up the most pounds, tons of human waste on the sidewalk. And the councilmen in Seattle don't want to use fire hoses to wash away the excrement from the Seattle streets because fire hoses are racist. Why? Because fire hoses were used to quell the civil rights protests in the South in the 60s. I'll tell you what, you want to see stupid? You want a definition of stupid? Just look it up in the dictionary. Seattle will be listed. They're whacked out. They're gone. Everything is racist, including what they say now to be nationalists. Supremacists would be racist. Supremacist says we are better than others. If you're a white and you're white supremacist, whites are better than blacks. If you're a black supremacist, and there are those, talk to Louis Farrakhan, says blacks are superior. That's all wrong. It's all evil. It's all unbiblical. Nationalism, not so. When we return, you're going to find out, was the Apostle Paul a Jewish nationalist? Be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio. Going to sum up real quickly what we covered before the break. Is it wrong to be a nationalist? No, it's not. I think it's good. It's healthy to love your nation, love your people. Is it wrong to be an imperialist, to impose your views on other nations? Yes, that's wrong. Is white supremacy, black supremacy, brown supremacy, all evil, unbiblical? Yes, it is. Is one who is a black nationalist, white nationalist, brown nationalist, a black, white, or brown guy who loves his nation for what it stands for wrong? No, it is not. The question I posed before the break is, was Apostle Paul a Jewish nationalist? So let's go to the Bible to find out if it's okay to like your country and love your country and care for your country to a greater degree than other countries. Is that wrong? Doesn't mean you think you are superior. It's just, where is your affection? Are you going to do and cherish and provide and do things for your family more than you are going to do for some family in Salt Lake City that you don't know, never heard of? It doesn't mean you think you're superior because you've put your loved ones and your needs and your family before others. If God is your Lord, you'll be blessed enough to provide for your own and then be the blessing to the family in Salt Lake City or Baltimore or wherever. Acts, if you've got a pen and pencil paper, jot this down. Acts 13:46. It was God's will that the gospel, says, first be preached to the Jews. Paul is saying this under the authority of the Holy Spirit. The Jews were to receive the gospel first. You might say they're preferred. I'm not going to go to that, but I mean, I think it was a tool and a vehicle, but God chose them. And Paul understood that God chose them to be a vehicle. Was he putting his fellow countrymen above the others? Yes, in a sense. He said, look, this has got to be preached first to my own people. Romans 1:16 says the gospel preached to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. He said, look, God has chosen us. We're going to reach the Gentiles, but we're supposed to reach the Gentiles through the Jews. These are the ones. So I want my nation and my people to be what God's called them to be. I want Israel to be God's anointed and give its heart to Jesus so they can be the apostles throughout the world to the Gentiles. Very, very nationalistic for the right reason, folks. For the right reason, to carry out the gospel to other nations. Romans 11:13-21 is a kind of a debunking of replacement theology, and the replacement theology is that the church, since the burial and crucifixion, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church has now replaced the nation of Israel as God's chosen. And of course, nothing can be further from the truth. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, makes this very clear in Romans 9. And you know what? I think I got time to read it. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I'm gonna go through it really fast. Romans 11. Romans 9 is another passage. Romans 11:13 says, so I speak to you Gentiles, that if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Paul's talking to the Gentiles saying, look, I'm going to try to provoke my fellow Jews here to salvation by ministering to you. She is, for the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the roots holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, i.e. the Jews here who didn't believe, and thou being a wild olive tree are grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and the fatness of the tree, boast not against the branches. Don't boast against the Jews, he's saying. Yeah, but if thou boast, thou hearest, because thou bearest not the root. The root, Jesus Christ, bears you. It supports you. Thou wilt then say, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. He said, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. See, it comes back to this propriety of Israel in the role of Jewish evangelism, meaning Jewish evangelism, meaning Jews evangelizing other Jews and Gentiles. And Paul, in the most incredible statement in Romans 9:3, he said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He loved his fellow Jews so much that he makes his statements, hard to get my arms around it, almost wishing. He said, I could wish. He didn't say, I do wish. He says, I could wish that I would be accursed. In other words, if I had to go to hell so that all the countrymen that I love, the Jews, are saved, my kinsmen, my countrymen, would I do it? Well, he said, if I could, you know what I mean? It doesn't say he would, but this is just an expression of his love for his own people and his own nation. Nothing wrong with that. Folks, when I would ask a Jewish girl out when I was at the University of Michigan, and I would get turned down all the time it happened. The Jewish guys, they dated Gentile girls. But the Jewish girls were, at that point in time, in the early 70s, they weren't bringing my blue eyes home. I understood it. I wasn't upset. They preferred their own. And I get that. It was not an issue. So Paul, speaking by the Holy Spirit, reflects and reveals his love for his own people. So was Jesus a Jewish nationalist? Well, Matthew 23:37, I mean, what does Jesus say in Matthew 23:37? Well, I'll tell you just as soon as I get to it myself, right? I better hurry up because I'm running out of time. 23:37, Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Jesus loved Jerusalem. He loved the Jewish people. Jesus was Jewish. He had a plan. God had a plan that the Jews would be the missionaries to the Gentiles, that they would get saved, evangelize the world. Some of them did. A few did, and they became that, the missionaries to the Gentiles. But Matthew 15:21 through 24. How about the woman? The Canaanite who wanted her child healed, and what did Jesus say to her? That the let me find it here real quickly. 21 through 24 here. She said, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Oh, come on, Jesus, you Jewish nationalist, you. What's wrong with you? Do you think you're better? Well, Jesus was better than everybody, right? Duh. We got that one, God incarnate. But the point was, he could not deny faith among Gentiles. The Roman centurion, this woman, he said, the centurion, hey, I haven't found that kind of faith in all of Israel. So the matter of the issue is here, he loved his nation and his people because of the purpose and wanted them to be great and fulfill the purpose for which God had them. The same thing I feel about the United States. We are a unique and a blessed country. A unique and a blessed country. And you know what? In a sense, we're all Jewish, right? If we're saved, it says the middle wall of partition has been broken down between Jew and Gentile. We are now a new man. And what else does it say? It says we have become citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. That's why I call Israel my second homeland. I feel a commonality with the Jews because I love the Jews and Jesus loves the Jews like he loves everybody, but he's got a specific role. If we are here for a specific reason, and it is an exceptional reason, not because we're so good, but because God has chosen the United States to be a very special vehicle, then what is wrong with that? I mean, are we going to get to the point where Lee Greenwood can't sing God Bless America anymore? Are we going to get to the point where American Airlines has to change his name because something's wrong with American? No. Not only am I a white Christian, white nationalist, like there are black and Hispanic and Asian nationalists listening to this program, but I'm a Christian nationalist. The worst combination to the left, the white Christian nationalist. Look, I want this nation to love God, to love Jesus, because if God is our Lord, we will be blessed. If we are blessed, then we get to be, not just get to be, we are ordered to be a blessing to others. Rob Walter encouraging you to sit tall, America, and wherever you are throughout the whole world. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.